All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, let me say it, everybody in the chat. Scooter Magruder is on. General Plowman is on. Supergirl 21 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Waterline 46 is on. Aggravane is on. Ever Eden is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Let me see here. Mobetta 01 is on. Genie Malfeasy is on. Sparky 8142 is on. My Broken Heart is on. Those Jesus People is on. JGCK is on. Buckeye 1968 is on. Blade Runner is on. Snagdog is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Mike Griffith is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Salty Gonads is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down here. LA 106 Times is on. Peg McGroin is on. Scrolling down. Let me see here. Sheila K is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Let me see here. Texas Billy is on. K4 VMS is on. Let me see here. Let me grab a couple more. N Johns is on. Let me see. Wade Away is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Johnny F62 is on. Linesmanson is on. Milwaukee James is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me grab one or two more. The one and only Chemical Toilet is on. Let me see here. Grab one or two more. Les Cruz Brown is on. One more. Let me grab one more. Robin Aroni is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Let's hop right to it. Shutdown day 28. The Schumer shutdown is on. Just some numbers on this real quick. Numbers that I've discovered over the last couple of days. Does anybody know how many Americans, basically what the shutdown is over? The real reason it's on is because Schumer is threatened in a primary by AOC. That's the real reason why it's on, so he can appeal to the communist left. That's why it's on, really. But then if you look at the political reasons why it's on, it's all politics. But if you look at the reason why it's on is this, is because of healthcare. The Democrats still pull slightly ahead of the Republicans when it comes to healthcare. Explain that to me. I cannot, because as soon as Obamacare was put in place, healthcare went up somewhere along the lines of 40%. But then everybody forgets about all that because we all have normalcy bias. A lot of us have Stockholm syndrome, and you just forget how your abuses, and then you actually end up begging for your abuse. We're like, oh, I want to hold on to healthcare that's now 40% higher than when it was when Obamacare was institutionalized. So anyway, that's what they say it's about is healthcare. It has nothing to do with healthcare. What it has to do with is Chuck Schumer getting $1.3 trillion added on to a $2.2 trillion debt and spending package that was put into place by the Big Beautiful Bill. That's just the truth. The Big Beautiful Bill, as much as I love Trump, adds $2.2 to $2.3 trillion to a national debt over 1 year. Because that clean CR, a continuing resolution, is just continuing to spend at Biden levels. That's all that it is. I mean, there's some good parts about the Big Beautiful Bill, some good cuts, some good additions, some good subtractions. But basically, it's still basically financing every wretched demonic NGO there is, with some notable cuts like USAID, which is pseudo cut, but not really cut, although no longer operating as USAID. That money's still being spent just in different locations. But really what this is about, so Chuck Schumer's like, I don't want to continue. Remember, this is how it works. And I don't mean to be redundant for those of you that watch the podcast all the time, but you have to set the precedent for all these things and set the arguments and motivations of all of these politicians. So Chuck Schumer says that it's about healthcare for Americans. And then they name that all of these Americans are going to be cut from Medicaid / Medicare, none of which is true at all. None of it's true at all. They're not Americans that are being cut. They will say not one penny has been spent on illegal, because this is all about Medicaid and Medicare for illegals. In other words, medical services for illegals. That's what it's about. because he has to appeal to the left side, the hyper left side of his party, the communist side of his party, the globalist side of his party, who's trying to overthrow our country using an illegal border invasion, an illegal migrant invasion into our country. That's what it's really all about. So he has to fund that. Now, they'll say that not a dime was spent on an illegal, which if you were to actually look at it, there is not one Medicaid dollar that goes to illegal. So, oh man, you're telling me Chuck Schumer's actually telling the truth? No. What it does is go to the state Medicare funds that are funded by the federal Medicare funds, and those state Medicare funds fund illegal medical services. That's it. It's just a typical, again, the example that I always use is Medi-Cal, but the exact same thing is going on in Illinois. Or what they do is classify every single illegal Medicaid or Medicare service as an emergency. Therefore, it goes to emergent services. Our federal dollars go to emergent services, which are not classified as going to illegals, even though those emergent services are going to illegals. That all makes sense so far, Aaron?
Yep.
So that's what this whole thing is about. Now, here's the pathetic part. Part of the sideshow is all the SNAP benefits and all the myriad. I mean, oh my gosh. I can't believe people want to humiliate themselves like they do by putting out all these videos about how they're going to loot Walmart. And now Walmart is talking about shutting down their you can't, I don't even know what the verbiage would be, shut down their in-person service, I guess. You can't walk in. I'm assuming that it'll be strategic and logistical about where they're going to do it, because Walmart's not going to get looted here. But they're talking about shutting down their in-person services, and basically you can only get Walmart goods if you order them beforehand and come pick them up outside of the store. So you'd have to be verified, picked up, already paid for, and then you get your services. Now they're talking about that. Now I don't know how much of a rumor that is, and how much of that is reality. I'm not sure yet, but we'll find out. It's good. And that just shows you, how do you look at yourself? You've happened to stumble on this podcast and you are a Democrat. How do you look at yourself in the eye knowing that the people in your party are causing Walmart to shut down and only do pre-ordered service? How can you be virtuous at all when they are having to run from the looters in your party? How can you be good people? I know you walk around thinking you're virtuous, that you're saving the world by wearing a mask and driving around in an electric car. But you're not. Look at your party. Walmart has to shut down their stores to protect themselves from looters from your party. And all those videos that are being put out basically threatening this all over TikTok and everywhere else. And why is it that I get banned off of TikTok and people threatening violence? There was one black woman who did a TikTok video threatening to literally eat white people. That was all Alex Jones put out there. I mean, threatening to eat white people. I'm going to eat you. And that's allowed on TikTok. But if I say the word ivermectin on TikTok, I'm banned for life. You may explain that to me. Oh, it's because, of course, TikTok was or is a leftist operation, a globalist leftist bourgeois controlled opposition prov the media. But anyway, I digress. So you have the SNAP shutdown that begins, I believe it's November 1st. I've heard some divergent stories of maybe it's the second week of November or whatever, but we'll just call it November 1st, November. So SNAP gets shut down. You know how many people are on SNAP food benefits? Does anybody know? 42 million.
Oh my gosh.
42 million. Now, 62,000 CDL licenses were issued to illegal aliens out of the state of California. Maybe people ought to learn to be a truck driver. Maybe they ought to work. Just imagine that number. 42 million Americans. That's 1 in 8. 1 in 8 Americans are on food services. How is that possible? There are jobs. I'm sitting right here in the booming metropolis of Northport, Florida. Because I'm being silly there, but I'm just saying there's tons of jobs here, tons of jobs, and people aren't working. Why is that exactly? 42 million people on SNAP benefits, on food service benefits, and that's going to be cut off with the shutdown. You know what I have to say about that? Good. Good. I hope this shutdown continues to be a record setter. And just so I want to make sure that everybody's clear on this shutdown. Who does this shutdown affect? Well, it affects all these people that get SNAP benefits. Well, they shouldn't be. They should be working. Every single one of these people saying they're going to eat white people, And loot Walmart. I've been assuming you'd be able-bodied if you can loot the Walmart. So why are you not working? Anybody explain that to me? I would love to know that. Because I have spent time, Aaron knows this, but there was a two-year period where I had 0 days off for two straight years. Of course, I've always worked full-time, but I'm just saying, I didn't have a day off for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I worked double shifts. I was working because we were having kind of our own financial crisis. My wife lost her jobs. A lot of expenses came in. It was a rough time. It was like 2008, 2009. I was working in the sheriff's office, and you can take these extra details at the sheriff's office where you go and you security for a bar, you drive around, you just various places hire you out to guard stuff, whatever it is. And there's a myriad of these details, and you can just sign up for them. And I would sign up for them. So most of the nights of the week, I would sign off from doing my usual job at the sheriff's office, and then go at night and work another shift. So I did that for 2 years. I didn't have a single day off for 2 years. And these people can't work a job, but they're perfectly able-bodied enough to go and steal a big screen TV out of Walmart. I'm just curious how that all works. And again, if you're a Democrat, you defend these people. And that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. All right, let's go to the first one. Pick from Gateway Pundit. For the 13th time, it's come up now, 13 times, the House has passed it, and the Democrats have voted it down. The Senate has passed it, and the Senate majority has, it's not passed because you have to have a 60-vote supermajority, but technically, by numbers, it's passed in the Senate. You look at the numbers, 52-43. 13 times, you've had three Democrats that have crossed over, Fetterman being one of them, and voted for the clean CR, which, again, is a wretched, horrible bill. And I don't want to stay stuck on that. It's just it's a wretched, horrible Biden spending level bill that's not good enough for the Democrats. They want to add $1.3 trillion so they can continue to pay for health care services for illegals. For the 13th time, Schumer and his power-hungry cronies refused to reopen the government. Air traffic controllers missed paycheck as U.S. military set to go unpaid on Friday. As these alleged advocates for the middle class and advocates for the lower middle class and advocates for the poor, the Democrats claim they are the advocates for all three of these subsections of our society and yet are causing all three of these subsets to go unpaid. Now, I don't think SNAP people should ever get paid. If you qualify because you are not able-bodied, I'm good with that. And I believe that's Christ-like to help you as in benevolence, to have even a good life. But if you are able-bodied, screw you. Go work. And if you're going to continue to have pop out one baby after another, you can pay for it. We're done. And I hope it goes on forever like this. And I hope Republicans can take the pressure as blue cities are being looted, because it won't be our communities that are getting looted. Sheriff's offices in Florida are not going to allow our Walmarts to get looted. It's not going to happen. Not all these blue cities, let them turn into the Escape from New York 1980 movie Hellscape. Let them all turn into it. Screw all these people. Let them have it. That's what they vote for. That's what they want. You're like, Tom, that's not Christ-like bullcrap. It isn't. Jesus specifically said it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Let's stop being used over and over and over again by the people who do not work and will never work, who are liars, who lie and lie about their lives. Screw all these people. Let them have the life and the cities that they want to have. And while we're in control of the federal government, they get no federal subsidies whatsoever. They can enjoy their sanctuary city status as they are sanctuaries from lawfulness and sanctuaries for lawlessness. They can have it. Enjoy it. Let's go to the next one. Great video right here from Peter St. Ange. The shutdown could, in theory, last to 2027 because unlike past shutdowns, and yes, 2027, there's no doubt, there's no debt ceiling. Remember now, Mike Johnson, I thought he was a devout conservative.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike Johnson voted for, and so did all, basically many in the House, unlike the real Republicans in the House, like Thomas Massey. You don't always agree with them, but Thomas Massey and a few others, what most of the Republicans voted for, because they're really Democrats with an R in front of their name, what they voted for was to have no consideration for the debt ceiling until 2027. assuming that Kamala was going to be president, so she wouldn't even have to deal with the debt ceiling. Because you're like, you tell me Mike Johnson and all these Republicans voted for Kamala Harris? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You honestly think Lindsey Graham, and I'm shifting back and forth from House to Senate, but do you really think Lindsey Graham voted for Donald Trump ever? I mean, do you really think that? I mean, do we really think John Cornyn voted for Donald Trump? I mean, do you really think that certain members of the House of Representatives, that whenever they talk to, like, Christopher Wray, we really think you're a hero, Christopher Wray. Do you think they voted for Donald Trump, these vaccine pimps and whores? Do you really think they did? They didn't. But anyway, so all of these House Republicans voted to have no consideration for the debt ceiling until 2027. Well, this could end up being in our favor, because most of the time, the problem is the debt ceiling looming over everybody's head. Why? I don't know. Because whenever the debt ceiling gets put off or put on, it has no effect on the economy. Because everybody's self-interested anyway in this crony capitalist system that we're in. I believe in capitalism and federalism, but we have crony capitalism, which is basically globalist serving capitalism. But anyway, so there is no debt ceiling to shorten this government shutdown. Play for me.
The government shutdown could theoretically last until 2027, according to Zero Hedge, Dare We Dream. As the federal shutdown enters day 28, we are just 1 week shy of the record set back in 2018 when Trump wanted a border wall and Democrats wanted new voters. Republicans ended up surrendering on that one with not one penny for the wall, but this time, amazingly, Republicans have held the line. This is probably because polls are showing the shutdown is not actually hurting Republicans. In fact, their odds in the midterm elections, which is the most important thing in Washington right now, have actually gone up since the shutdown began, now hitting 40%. That's pretty impressive considering the party in power has won midterms just three times since 1934. Yet here we are, near even after 4 weeks of shutdown. Now, the polling suggests mainstream media's lost their mojo, while Trump has been very careful to keep funding everything popular, so the military, ICE, WIC for pregnant women, while starving all the left-wing garbage, the foreign aid, money holes for New York subways and wind farms, food stamps for illegals. So there's little pressure for Republicans to cave. They win by doing nothing, which, to be fair, is already their comfort zone. And that takes us to Zero Edge, who asks, how long can it keep going? Now, the key is most past shutdowns were paired with a debt ceiling, which makes markets panic about treasury payments, which are the lifeblood of our Ponzi financial system. But the next debt ceiling doesn't hit until mid-2027. That removes the external pressure to cut a deal. So if the world's not ending, if markets aren't even noticing the shutdown, if Republicans are rising in the polls while Democrats are afraid of their Antifa base, nobody needs a deal. In theory, this means they can literally keep going until 2027. So for fun, what if they do? For starters, 2027 is far past the 61 days needed to permanently fire federal workers. The office management and budget has already officially fired roughly 10,000 and can keep going to, in theory, all 750,000 who are officially listed as useless or non-essential. GDP shrinks because government spending counts as GDP, which it should not. Jobs also shrink as thousands of federal workers no longer collect six figures to look out the window or fund riots. So GDP and jobs look bad, but both make the country richer. And then the big one, the national debt. Keeping the useless third of the federal government closed for a year and a half would save roughly $2 trillion. Could actually be closer to three. Now, it's hard for Congress to respend the windfall in a shutdown, so that could go directly into a budget surplus that would start paying down debt. That would lower borrowing costs on the debt in a virtuous cycle. In fact, it would lower borrowing costs across the board to factories and families alike. More important, shutting the useless third of the government for a year and a half would plant the seeds in voters' minds that maybe we should permanently defund it and make the surplus permanent as well. So as next, brought to you by iTrust Capital, Cauchy odds on the shutdown are still only 44 days, so we are a long ways from 2027. But if Senate Republicans miraculously hold the line, it is possible to get the transformational cuts their voters actually want. Hey, we'll be watching.
See, now I want to set this up with something that Aaron talked about. We've talked about it before on the podcast. First of all, this whole thing, this whole shutdown is an illusion. Now, how much the Republicans play a part in this, I don't know. How much Trump knows, I don't know. How much Trump participates in this illusion, I don't know. But everybody does realize that you don't have to pass the CR, correct? You don't have to have these omnibus, minibus, megabus spending packages. Does everybody agree on? Does everybody know that?
Yep.
That you can go up there with what's called line item bills? Literally, it's learned helplessness. It is Stockholm Syndrome that everybody believes that we have to pass these giant omnibus CRs or these omnibus spending packages.
Yeah.
We don't have a budget. We haven't had a budget for 20 years. But you can go up and pass, as Aaron was talking about this, with Thomas Massey said, you can pass these, you can have these 12 bills that basically encompass the CR, and basically 8 out of 12 would pass right now for everybody.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get voted on. Why is that?
Mm.
I mean, why is Mike Johnson not doing it? I mean, here's the thing. Now, I want to preface this with this, because in some ways I like what Mike Johnson's doing, because I don't want any of the eight out of 12 passed. I want the government shut down until 2027. Tom, what are you talking about? Well, very easily, simply pass pay the military, one line item bill. That's all we need out of the federal government. No, Tom, that can't be. Do you really need the FBI, the ATF? Do you need the Department of Education? There's 4 million federal employees. And by the way, I just want to bring this up. The only people that are being affected by the shutdown, this is the biggest shutdown ever. It does actually encompass the largest portion of government ever, for the longest period of time ever with that portion of government. But what is this shutdown? Out of 4 million employees, it affects 750,000. That's it. Just so everybody knows. That is the deal. That's what's happening. That is all. That's why Peter St. Ange was talking about. Right now, Russ Vogt from OMB has already fired 10,000 out of 750,000. How many of you want the rest fired? I do. I want the air traffic controllers. I do. I want them paid, and I want the military paid, and screw everybody else. I don't want anybody else. they don't do anything. Literally 6% of the workforce actually shows up pre-Trump for work. So they can just go, and if we did that, we would save $2 trillion. Two, not B, not M, T. $2 trillion by mid-2027. And all of that would pay down the debt.
Yeah.
I mean, why on earth are we, and here's the thing, there's no negative consequence to it whatsoever. We're gaining in the polls with the shutdown. The only people that we are losing are the people we've never had. The black woman who wants to eat white men. That's all we're losing. Who cares? Let them go.
Yeah.
They can go pound sand. Forget these people. Forget these Democrat cities. I'm sorry if you live in a blue state. And by the way, most blue states are not blue. They're actually red. But because of election fraud, everybody is living under the tyranny of the minority because of election fraud. So that's exactly what needs to happen. Again, out of 4 million federal employees, this affects 750,000. A big chunk of that being the military. That's the need to be paid. And the air traffic controllers need to be paid. Isn't it funny, though, that the federal workers who occupy the House and the Senate are fully paid with gold-plated health care, health insurance themselves? They're not. They exempted themselves from Obamacare. They've exempted themselves from all federal shutdowns. They've exempted themselves from liability lawsuits. They've exempted themselves from insider trading. And then people consider them to be, quote, unquote, our leaders. They're disgusting, repulsive pigs. That's who they are. This is a funny little video because this was put out by Axios. And this is Rep. James Walkinsh, something like that. It's kind of like close to walk in. If you put an IT on the end, it's Walkinshaw, I guess. Walkinshaw. But then it's an abbreviation on Twitter, whatever. But anyway. He should, but anyway, I digress. But anyway, so this is James Walkinshaw out of Virginia, and it's Axios, and they think this is an intellectual argument against the shutdown, and all it does is reaffirm my belief in extenuating the shutdown in perpetuity. Play it for me.
Yeah. How does this shutdown feel different? You mentioned, so this is your fourth. How does it feel different?
Well, in our region, in the D.C. region and in Northern Virginia, I think it feels different because it comes on the heels of 9 months where, from my perspective and a lot of my constituents' perspectives, the Trump administration has been shutting down much of the federal government anyway, right? So USAID was shut down very quickly. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau shut down. Much of the Department of Education shut down. Offices within agencies that President Trump or the Trump administration don't like shut down. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers, you know, losing their job through whether it's RIFs or layoffs or forks. So it comes on the heels of that, which makes it very, very different for our region. Federal employees and workers and contractors have already been hit very hard. So they see this as kind of one more thing in that list of assaults they've experienced.
So you're almost describing this as a rolling shutdown that in some ways started January 20th.
That's right. Yeah, that's how my constituents and federal workers and folks, I think, in our region have experienced it.
See, I love every last thing. He was talking about side by side that one, Aaron. This is the guy, another effeminate man who looks like a receiver. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if he is or not. I don't want to falsely accuse him. But I mean, here are the people that are allegedly our betters right here. Every single one of the Democratic Party, every single one of their spokespeople, every single one of their leaders are either loudmouth, disgusting women like Rashida Tlaib or effeminate men. That's it. So, you know, everything that he said, I'm in favor of. Everything that he thought was terrible. They shut down this, and these federal employees are not getting, you know, can't report to their agencies they work for. Agencies do what? Agencies that do what? They don't ever accomplish anything. We're $38 trillion in debt paying these imbeciles. And they never actually accomplish one thing they ever say they're going to accomplish. So I'm like, good. I mean, I'm like, shut down every last bit of it. What benefit? I just want anybody, you can just, if you have a piece of paper, or you have something to write on, you could type on your phone, name the various times the federal government has ever come through for you or what benefit they ever offer you. Not one. Shut it down. They don't do anything. It's all basically a Democratic, our tax dollars go to enrich Democrats. That's it. Through the NGO system, through the campaign system, through the government paying NGO system. That's it. Or just actually getting government jobs themselves. And when you see this, what people like James Walkinshaw will say is that, and they'll bring this stuff up later. But yeah, but look at right now, consumer price index, unemployment rates go up. Just other economic statistical data, whatever it may be, gross domestic product, whatever it is. Because all of those things, our government is so huge that when we cut federal workers, it affects our unemployment rate. That is not the federal system we're supposed to be in. We spend so much money, Aaron put up the debt clock already, $38 trillion, that when you actually cut that spending, it affects our overall economy. So they'll say, look at, you know, GDP is down. Well, yeah, gross domestic product's going to be down when you're no longer spending, because every single one of these dollars, we could play the game again if everybody would like to, because in the next 22 seconds or so, we're going to spend $1 million. Every 19 to 22 seconds, it varies ever so slightly by about a 3-second margin. But no matter what, every 22 seconds at the very most, we spend $1 million. If you're not spending $1 million every 22 seconds, yeah, your GDP is going to go down. But those are actually a positive measurement of the economy when your GDP goes down or your CPI goes up. It's actually a positive thing if the unemployment rate goes up as you fire federal workers. And then you fire all the unlicensed or shouldn't be licensed Gavin Newsom CDL holders and replace them with Americans. Maybe the government workers can go and drive trucks. Instead of getting paid $150,000 to $250,000 a year to show up at their job once a month or once every 2 months. And actually what they do is they show up at the last day of each month, so they get credit for each month. The last day of 1 month and the first day of the next month. So they actually show up twice a month for work and they get credit for the whole month.
Crazy.
And they do nothing. We've chronicled it. I mean, again, I should just cut and paste these videos together. But like General Flynn talking about when he would walk around the Pentagon and they were working on defunct projects that had not been actually a project for 30 years. What are you working on? We're working on the 1992 weapons project. That's no longer applicable to government. That was cut, you know, 30 years ago. Yeah, we're still working on it. But there's nothing to work on because there is no project. But yet they're paying 37 people $200,000 a year to show up every day and stand around the table and shuffle papers to each other, go work out and watch movies. And that's why you have this right here. And it's crony capitalism. It's handed to friends and relatives of Democratic Party politicians and sycophantic Republicans that are afraid of Democrats. All right, let's go to the next one. CJ Pearson video, breaking in a huge blow to Chuck Schumer's assertion that every day gets better for us. CNN reports that Republicans have improved their poll numbers. Play for me.
Starting with Republicans, how has the shutdown seemed to have affected their political standing?
Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that a government shutdown might actually hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here, the shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. When we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand has actually improved a little bit?
Now, we say their position is getting better. With whom?
Yeah, okay, with whom? So I think it's two groups that it's so important to keep an eye out on. All right, changing the Republican Congress's net approval rating versus pre-shutdown. It's rallying the base for sure. Look at this, the net approval rating up 12 points versus pre-shutdown. But it's not just with the base. It's also with the middle of the electorate. Look at this, among independents. It's up 8 points as well. So we've got a situation here where Republicans with the shutdown are actually rallying their base, but it's also something that's not hurting them with the folks in the middle. If anything, it's helping them with folks in the middle. And this is the type of math that if you're Republicans, you like to see, right? Because something could rally the base but alienate those in the middle, or something could rally those in the middle but alienate the base. But the truth is, we're not seeing that. What we're seeing is the Republican brand has actually gotten better among independents, and it's also gotten better among Republicans as well, that Republican brand when it comes to those in Congress. So again, what's the electoral reason that Republicans would give in at this point?
And Democrats, of course, they have their eyes on the midterm elections. Yeah, we have elections 1 week from today, but what Democrats in Congress are mostly focused on are 1 year and 1 week from today from the midterm. So how do Democrats, how are they positioned right now?
Yeah, so I mean, look, the general congressional ballot, which traditionally Democrats have done really well on, and if you look at this point back when Trump was president the first time around, Democrats were up 11 points. Look at where it is now. Democrats are ahead, but they're actually only up 3 points. This is, in fact, the worst position Democrats have been on in a generic ballot at this point in midterm when there was a Republican president in the last 20 years. And this is no different from pre-shutdown. So Republicans aren't losing on this metric either. They become more popular, and they're actually in a pretty good position for them historically when it comes to the generic congressional ballot.
This is a concerning number for Democrats, are you saying?
This is a concerning number for Democrats because it's considerably worse than they traditionally do in midterm elections when there's a Republican president.
Harry Enten, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, so back to front, you have generic ballot. That's a huge deal. That way, basically, that is who's registered to vote. So they use the Democrats coming up, they do that with every major election. Who has more registered voters? It used to be that the Democrats were 11 points up on us in the generic ballot. So they basically had a 11 point edge on us as far as registered voters. Now they have three. And you see right there, Dem versus GOP generic ballot, 2025 looks nothing like last midterm with Trump. So we are catching, and that's to the credit of Charlie Kirk, that's to the credit of Scott Pressler, the persistence on Twitter, all registering all these voters. Now they only own a 3% margin. That is nothing. And that's within the margin of error. We've actually there's states that are now have overturned. There's more Republicans registered to vote than Democrats. So this shutdown is working. Why ever stop it? Well, because Democratic Party cities will burn. Oh, well. Does anybody care? I don't care. You voted for your own demise. A person's own folly leads to their ruin. Go right ahead. This is what you wanted. You voted in Brandon Johnson. You voted in an advisor to Raul Castro and Karen Bass. Go ahead. Enjoy L.A. Enjoy it, Chicago. You voted in Eric Adams. You're about to vote in Zohran Mamdani. Enjoy your hellscape, communist city. Go right enjoy it. Have fun with it. It's supposed to be great this time. You know, I know communism and socialism has been tried a myriad of times over the last 150 years, and it ends up in the deaths of hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. But you know what? This time it'll work. Enjoy it. Just go ahead. We don't need to be concerned for these people. We're all armed. The woman who wants to eat me, because I'm a big slice of beef, but I'm a big slice of man cake. She wants to come and eat me. She's going to have a hard time moving her jaw around with an AR round right between her eyes. As soon as she comes on my property, the last sound she'll ever hear is the sound of like a firecracker. She'll like, oh, it's the fourth. That'll be the end of her. That's it. So we're all armed. We're not worried about it in the South. We're not worried about it in Florida. They have to worry about it in Atlanta, but the rest of Georgia doesn't have to worry about it. All of Alabama doesn't have to worry about it. Only a little bit in Louisiana's got to worry about it around New Orleans. Mississippi ain't got to worry about it. Some of the Democratic cities in Texas got to worry about it. But we don't worry about it in red states. We're not worried about it in Tennessee or Kentucky. I'm going to have looting here. Everybody's armed, baby. Let their health scare. Let them enjoy hell. I've said this in church many times over the last couple of months. You need to out loud identify heaven and hell all the time. That comes from heaven. That comes from hell. But don't even say that comes from. Don't even say it. Just go hell or heaven. And you look at these Democratic cities who butcher the unborn, who want to be communist, ban speech. You know what? And don't prosecute crime and allow their citizens to be raped and murdered. Hell. And you come right here in red Sarasota County. Heaven. That's what you do. And you know what? They want to have hell. Let them have hell. And here's the thing, it's funny too, is what are you going to do after you loot the stores in your communities, you idiots? They're not going to send trucks to resupply them. So now what are you going to do? You're going to try my house? Good luck with that. Again, all you hear, last sound you'll ever hear is tat, tat, tat. That's it. But I mean, Ron DeSantis won't allow you in the state anyway, and not one sheriff in the state of Florida will allow you to loot a store here. Go, Aaron.
You're giving them too much credit. They don't think that far ahead. They're just thinking about
that's exactly what somebody else said to me. Yeah,
just tonight, I'm gonna go rob Walmart. Yeah. That's all they're thinking.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, yeah, go ahead. I mean, they're never gonna, I mean, woe is me in the black community because they're closing our CVSs. That's because you loot them.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I know that that's still a small minority of the black community. Believe it or not, it really is. I worked in the black community. I worked in the Martin Luther King section of Sarasota for a time. It was a brief period of time, but in my law enforcement group, but a substantive period of time. And most of the black community works hard. But there is a sizable minority in the community that doesn't. And that 13% of the population, black community, commits 60% of all violent crimes. It's just fact. It's a fact. There's no denying it. It is what it is.
Yep.
And to me, it has nothing to do with you're born with a certain pigmentation. That's idiocy. That's asinine idiocy to think the pigmentation, the level of melanin in your skin determines whether or not you're going to be a thief, a robber, a murderer, whatever it may be. It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with, is there a dad there to begin with and everything? Or if you even survived the abortion to begin with, because the number one killer in the black community, 440,000 per year, is abortion. But again, I digress. It's just funny to me. I'm like, why stop the shutdown? Well, we're afraid of what's going to happen. No, do what Thomas Massie says here. Get some light on them bills. I don't get it. Aaron, help me. I don't get it. Okay. I honestly don't get it. Make the Democrats go on the record. Oh, they won't do it because secretly see the Republicans are friends with them.
Yep.
Get them. Thank you, Aaron. They're on the record. I mean, get them on the record. Here is a line item. Talking about a CR. Just an absolutely, you know what? Just a clean CR, clean line item bill, funding only the military. Make them vote yes or no on it. Put even, you know what? I don't want them to fund SNAP, but put SNAP out there. Funding SNAP only. Make them vote on it. Because if the Democrats vote yes on those, they lose credit with their globalist bourgeois elitist base. But if they vote yes on those things, if they vote no, they lose legitimacy with their entire base. Go, Aaron, you had something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but then you expose Republicans, too, by putting them on the record, because then you're going to see that John Thune is going to vote against things that he says he's for.
No, see, that's the difference, though. I disagree with you on that, because John Thune, well, they will fake it. It's just like when John Thune eventually has to pass Trump's nominees. He ends up doing it. Mm-hmm. He has to do it. Otherwise, he's done. Democrats have a tendency to be able to survive even the worst of votes against their own constituencies. Republicans cannot. If John Thune gets caught in his 51% of the time he votes with Democrats, if he does it in a real substantive way, in a way that really counts, like voting against the military, he's done. AOC could get away with voting against the military. John Thune can't. That's the difference.
That's true. They have to maintenance the veneer.
So if you're maintenancing the veneer as a Democrat, you're anti-military anyways. You're maintenancing that veneer. John Thune can't, even though he is anti-military. He's a leftist. He votes 51% of the time with Chuck Schumer. That's who he is. John Cornyn's the same way. Votes 49% of the time with Democrats. These are the two people that ran for Senate Majority Leader and were voted in by the other Republicans, because most of them, with a notable few exceptions like Ron Johnson and Rand Paul, are actually Democrats. And they all need to be primaried and run out of the Senate for life. And they can go on their own speaking tour where there's no NGOs to pay them anymore for their speeches. All right, Wall Street Apes video. Three Democrats are making a fortune. Play for me.
Back in November, we noticed Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz buying stock in a company called Viasat. And it really caught our eye because it was the first time we'd seen her buy the stock. It was the first time we'd seen any member buy the stock.
Okay, so Debbie Wasserman Schultz sits on the Appropriations Committee and the Subcommittee on Military Construction. That's not a good look right off the bat.
And then in December, it was announced that Viasat would be awarded part of like a $4 billion NASA contract, and the stock just rose.
Looks like they got another big contract also with the Department of Defense right after the NASA contract.
A couple years ago, we saw Representative Susie Lee buy stock in a company called Rheinmetall.
Rheinmetall?
Which is a German defense contractor, which, I mean, that rang alarm bells for us, because it's like it was a stock we hadn't really seen any members trade before, and obviously very tied into U.S. defense policy.
It's like they're doing a lot of work with the Army lately. Tank modernization, I bet there's big money in that.
Susie Lee sat on a committee on military construction, and since then the stock's risen like, I think, 250%. Last year we saw Senator Mark Wayne Mullen buy stock in a company called Badger Meter, which really caught our attention because Badger Meter makes automated water meters, and Senator Mark Wayne Mullen sits on the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, and we learned that the EPA had recently passed a mandate basically encouraging cities to switch to automated water meters. The year following the trade, Badger Meter stock rose around 40% before Senator Mark Wayne Mullen closed his position.
All right, so let's go. It actually wasn't three Democrats. It was two Democrats and one Republican. And I wonder why, because see, Mark Wayne Mullen, I used to make fun of him, and then he has lurched hardcore to the right. I wonder if that's to cover his tracks. Because Mark Wayne Mullen, very strange, isn't it, that these people make these very strategic stock trades? I mean, right at the very moment the federal government invests in these companies, and again, all of these people are on subcommittees that oversee that portion of the economy they're investing in. That's strange, isn't it? That you are going to be the regulator over a certain portion of the government, right? I mean, so you are overseeing, you are the regulator for a portion of the government the portion of the economy that you are investing in. I mean, everyone think that you are the regulator. You are the person that's overseeing a portion of the economy. You make all the decisions about what the government's going to spend, even necessarily manipulating the overall capitalistic system so that money is spent in certain areas. But let's just concentrate on government spending, because that's what happened here. And for these three, it's Susie Lee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Mark Wayne Mullen. So here's where Mark Wayne, Aaron, that's excellent, thank you. Mark Wayne makes his buy for Badger Meter, which is a real, I mean, now that right there is a hyper. I mean, that would be a hyper right-wing company, wouldn't it? Because that's an automated water meter, so somebody can turn your water off. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to have a totally. Water meter that's automated, that who's ever on the right end of that automation can shut your water meter off?
I look forward to it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Your hand is not at the literal spigot of your own water.
Yeah.
But Mark Wayne Mullen makes a very interesting investment. And then again, this is right out of Moderna. I mean, this is right out of the, it is Moderna too, is merged with the federal government, but again, that's fascism. But anyway, I mean, it's just like the FDA receives 44% of the FDA's budget comes from the companies they regulate. How in the world are you going to be able to be unbiased when your job depends on the people that you regulate? Anybody explain that to me? So Mark Wayne Mullins is over a specific portion of our economy that has to do with water and environmental things, and then steers the economy, not even steers the economy, steers government spending to benefit his own stock purchase or vice versa. Does he make the stock purchase and then have the government spend the money? Or does he have the government spend the money and then make the stock purchase right before the check is actually written? I don't know which one comes first. Doesn't really matter because this is all illegal and you and I would go to federal prison for the rest of our lives. But, and Joe was astonished by this, they've exempted themselves from insider trading. They've exempted themselves from Obamacare. They've exempted themselves from liability. They've exempted themselves from sexual harassment lawsuits because they have their own congressional slush fund that pays off all their sexual harassment lawsuits. Isn't that great? That's what you and I pay for? I'm not done yet, guys. We're going to stick on this one for a minute. So that's Mark Wayne Mullins, who makes a ton of money because right before the government spends money on this Badger Water automated water meter, he invests in it. And then has his committee spend the money on his own investment. And 75 members of Congress also own Pfizer stock right before they mandated the vaccine. And that's all a coincidence.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
I mean, again, it's like Ursula von der Leyen, the president over with my COVID pass, you know, right before she instituted the vaccine passport and mandated the vaccine. Everyone doesn't realize, I guess, that hundreds of millions of dollars were steered towards her husband, who works for Pfizer.
Y'all.
As a subcontractor? Y'all, you're commandante. Ursula. And then, of course, you have Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who makes a very strategic stock purchase. Also, remember now, she oversees the Defense Department. So she's overseeing, and again, $38 trillion in debt. So she's overseeing the expenditures of, she's in charge of that. So she's in charge of regulating defense spending. She's in charge of overseeing defense spending, and says, you know what? I'm going to buy Viasat stock. And then suddenly, never before, our military then majorly invests hundreds of millions of dollars in Viasat, and she makes tens of millions. I mean, just right at the right moment. It's very strange, isn't it? And the exact same thing happened with Susie Lee, also on the defense committee. And she decided, you know, we're going to spend money on Rheinmetall. And when they spend money on, look where she invested. There's Susie's buy. Let's buy Rheinmetall. You know, it's very, again, somebody who's overseeing this segment of our budget. And she is, and then invests in the area that she is overseeing to her great financial benefit. And of course, obviously you have the Nancy Pelosi stock tracker. Make sure that you trade exactly as Nancy does, because you'll go from somebody making $174,000 a year to now being worth over $200 million via things like this. That's how corrupt it really all is. It is that corrupt. Go, Aaron.
Are you not? You're not invested in Rheinmetall at all?
No, I never did buy it. Oh, I never got any Rheinmetall. I wouldn't have known. I mean, yeah. They just amazingly time it perfectly every single time. All right, go to the next one. John Solomon tweet: 25 Republican AGs file amicus brief with Supreme Court challenging birthright citizenship. This is what has to happen. Birthright citizenship is not in the Constitution. That's another Democratic Party lie. And again, it's just pure mirage obfuscation. It is conflation. That's what they always do. I've said it a million times with the vaccines. The vaccine is FDA approved. No, not the vaccine that you're administering. The vaccine that's FDA approved is Comirnaty, and not one American citizen, including the military, has ever gotten a Comirnaty injection. Ever. Comirnaty injection. Not one. But they said it was approved. No, only to this day. To this day, nothing's approved but Comirnaty, and not one American has ever gotten that injection. I mean, are any of the new COVID shots, the one that Trump just got, is that FDA approved? No. No. And there's no clinical trials either. There's no double-blind placebo-controlled trial. None. It's all lies. It's pure conflation. And it's the exact same thing here. Anybody born in the United States is a citizen. Really? No, that's not how it works. It has to be only those who are born in the United States. That checks one of the boxes. The only problem is that there's two boxes. There's two boxes who are subject to the jurisdiction they're in. That's why every year, you're going to love this one, Joe. Every year, 40,000 Japanese people fly, not Japanese, Chinese, fly into our country because they're allowed to fly in their last trimester, fly into our country, pop out their puppy in the United States. They claim that kid's a citizen and fly right back to China every year. And you're a Democrat and you believe that person's a citizen? You think that's part of our Constitution? That the founding fathers said, you know what, anybody, they can just cross our border, squat down, have a kid. That kid gets all rights and privileges of the Constitution of the United States of America. No, it says subject to the jurisdiction they're in. Born in America, but subject to the jurisdiction they're in. In other words, you are a legitimate United States citizen. Not people who are, if you come into the United States as an illegal or as a tourist or as a green card owner or possessor, are you subject to the jurisdiction they're in? No, you have no rights here. You have no rights. You don't. There's no rights for you. You can be immediately deported just upon the pleasure of the Secretary of State. That's fact. That's constitutional. All right, let's go to the next one. American trucker video. Another California truck driver pulled over, this time in Arkansas, unable to speak basic English or read common traffic signs. It's a 6-minute video. We're going to watch about 90 seconds of it. Play it for me.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm good.
Why are you parked here?
Yeah, I parked here 3 hours.
Why did you park here? You understand English?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Why did you park here?
Yeah.
No, no good. I'm Officer Eddings, Arkansas Highway Police. I need your driver's license, registration, and insurance for this truck. Is there anybody else in the truck? Is there anybody else in the truck?
My company.
Your company. Okay, you don't understand English.
Yeah.
Where's your logbook at? Put you some clothes on. Pants. Put your pants on.
Pants on? What?
Put your pants on. Pants. Put some pants on.
Yeah, okay.
You don't understand English. What company do you work for?
California.
Your company's called California?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't understand me. Okay. All right. All right. You see this sign?
Yeah, truck. Over.
What's Pink. That sign say?
Pink. Must enter, right?
Do you tell me? What does it say? Yeah. I need you to read that sign.
Yeah, we're testing. Next red.
Okay, read it again.
Read it again.
Read it again.
Oh, trucks. Over 10. Must enter waste station next, right?
What is this word?
Tense.
Tense? No.
No?
No. What is it? What does that sign mean?
What's that mean? 10 things.
What does this sign mean?
Must enter.
All right, so it goes on. It's a good video. It's from American Truckers on Twitter. So here's the thing. That guy is careening down the road at 80 miles an hour with several tons, many, many tons of whatever it is that he's carrying. I mean, that he has no idea what the speed limit is. He doesn't know what 80 miles an hour. He doesn't know if it's 70 miles an hour. He doesn't, because out west there's 80 mile an hour limits. He has no idea, and he's carrying absolutely tons of whatever, tons and tons of product, whatever it is, careening down the road. He has no idea to slow down. He doesn't understand flashing lights. He understands nothing, but Gavin Newsom issued him that CDL. Remember, that's the company that he works for, California. This is all of 62,000 of those were issued by California alone. I wonder how many Pritzker issued. Of those people just careening down the roads with tons and tons of product on their vehicle. That's why we're seeing Americans killed by these CDL drivers all the time. The horrific crash in Canada, too, because they're doing the same thing up there. Just issuing these one of the requirements. So you saw him. That was the sign test that he was given. One of the tests that you have to be, there's two portions of the tests that you have to pass, for sure. There may be more portions, but I know two for sure. You have to speak fluent English. Was he able to do that, Aaron?
No.
Okay, and you have to be able to pass the sign test.
No.
So explain to me how he passed either one of those. But yet, how is it that California issued him a CDL? Same way that they issue people's the ability to vote. Doesn't matter. They don't give a crap. They're just doing it anyway. And people are dying because of it, but it doesn't matter to them because their own relative wasn't crushed to death by a semi careening down the road that weighs 20 tons and smashes into somebody going 100 miles an hour because they don't understand the warning signs that there's slow traffic ahead. They just keep on going 100 miles an hour. And why was the guy naked? What's he doing? He's parked on the side of the interstate, buck freaking naked. Naked, sitting on the side of the road. He has no idea what our laws are. None whatsoever. I don't even want to know what he was doing on the side of the name, but whatever.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know. But anyway, let's go to the next one. Right Angle News Network tweet, breaking. I just had to show this to you. See the girl, she actually had a hatchet. You can't really see it in her other hand. But in her hand, she has a hatchet in one hand and a butcher knife in the other. Why would this young girl, I think she was 11, why is she having to brandish a hatchet and a knife? Because there is these Romanians coming to rape her. Now, you would think that when they were coming to rape her and she defends herself, by the way, she didn't even hit anybody with anything, which she had every right to hack their penises off, but she didn't do any of that. You would think that the attempted rapist would be the ones that were arrested, but no, breaking the young Scottish girl who was forced to brandish the knife and an axe to defend herself and her sister against a Romanian migrant and was arrested. She was arrested. She was arrested by defending herself from a pedophile rapist. Has been vindicated only after a Romanian grooming gang was jailed for sexually abusing women across Dundee, across Scotland. So now the politicians, they're covered because now they're not going to be called Islamophobic. So now they can go ahead and exonerate this poor girl who's going to spend time in prison for defending herself against being raped. And she's 11. She's prepubescent 11-year-old. That's, imagine, this is politicians worldwide. That's why we need term limits, and it's no different in the United States. Everybody's absolutely, they're run. They are absolutely run by. They are enslaved by, will somebody call me names? They're absolutely, that is what governs them. Am I going to do the right thing? But if I do the right thing, somebody's going to call me names. What should have happened here? The rapist should have been arrested, but they weren't, because that wouldn't have been politically correct to arrest a Romanian pedophile rapist. Instead, you arrest the potential rape victim, and then you arrest anybody who puts it online, as they've arrested 13,000 people for Facebook posts in the UK. Unfreaking believable. All right, MJ Truth Ultra video. This is the update from Charlie Kirk I wanted to give you last night. I don't like doing this. I don't like coming out against other pastors or anything. I really don't. I'll speak the truth about them, especially their vaccine pimps and whores, but other than COVID whores and everything else. But anyway, I did plenty of that, but don't like to as a rule. But anyway, so just an update on this. This is very strange behavior with the people around Charlie Kirk. I'm going to let the videos speak for themselves. This has to do with Rob McCoy, who's like Charlie Kirk's pastor, part of his entourage, and then his son, Mikey McCoy, who is a big part of Turning Point. Three videos combined together. Play it for me.
I'm looking at my son, who's 24 years old. Justin's the chief
CFO, chief financial officer, and Mikey's the chief of staff. And I'm watching, the minute Charlie was shot, he called me, says, Dad, Charlie's been shot in the neck. Please call every pastor and pray. I said, okay, son. He has wits about him. He was just directing. He had blood all over him. And Frank Turek, I want to address something. The stupidity of the internet. Oh, signals? Really? You're going to put that garbage out that they were giving hand signals? That was Frank Turek. He was covered in blood because he was giving Charlie CPR. He's an apologist for the Christian faith. His children were on the phone when he was videotaping it, and they saw the bullet. His heart's ripped out. Signals, really? And the other guy, Dan, the security guard, he's somehow tied in with this conspiracy. Get over yourself. Dan is a believer. I love that man. Why didn't he check the roof? I don't know. I do know that they do. I know they have a limited detail. President Trump was shot. Kennedy was shot. RFK was shot. Where were they? There's some things, no matter how hard you try, and especially with Turning Point growing exponentially and trying to figure out the dimensions of what to do. And how are they supposed to get on a roof when the campus police have the keys to all that? Just calm down.
So it seems like somebody's lying. New footage has been circulating showing Turning Point's chief of staff, Mikey McCoy's odd reaction right after Charlie Kirk got shot. Right after Charlie Kirk got shot, Mikey McCoy can be seen plugging his ears and instantly turning around and walking away slowly. People are noticing that he's on a cell phone talking to somebody. And this is kind of odd because everybody else around there is running and ducking for cover. And so it begs the question, who was Mikey talking to on the cell phone? Mikey's father, Pastor Rob McCoy, claims that Mikey called him right after Charlie got shot. Take a listen.
I'm looking at my son who's 24 years old. Justin's the chief CFO, chief financial officer, and Mikey's the chief of staff. And I'm watching, the minute Charlie was shot, he called me, says, Dad, Charlie's been shot in the neck. Please call every pastor and pray. I said, okay, son. He has wits about him. He was just directing. He had blood all over him. And
Pastor Rob McCoy also claims that Mikey is covered in blood. But that's odd because Mikey quickly turned and walked away without even looking underneath the tent to see if Charlie was okay. According to James Lee's investigation, Mikey McCoy called Erica Kirk, and this is per the New York Times. Check this out.
Who was he calling? Well, I did some digging, and according to the New York Times, it was one Erica Kirk. Quote, Miss Kirk was sitting in her mother's hospital room at 11:23 a.m. local time in Phoenix when she saw the number of her husband's longtime assistant, Michael McCoy, appear on her phone. In retrospect, she said she knew the words, he's been shot, before Mr. McCoy screamed them. According to official records, Charlie Kirk was shot at 12:23 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 11:23 in Phoenix. So if the New York Times is being 100% accurate, the only person that Mikey could have been on the phone with is Erica.
So who was Mikey McCoy really talking to? And why did he just walk away so calmly right after his friend got shot?
Gang violence.
Great.
violence. Great. Gang violence. Great.
He's still on the phone as Charlie is evacuated behind him. But what's he talking about? He doesn't actually know anything yet. He walked away without seeing what happened to Charlie. Who's he talking to?
The year Charlie Kirk's chief of staff, very close friend, the son of Charlie Kirk's pastor, and your response to him being shot is to calmly walk away? I mean, can anybody explain it to me? And everything that Rob McCoy said is a lie. He said, Aaron, I'm glad Aaron caught this because I didn't. Frank Turk was the guy you saw in the video that was hunched down, all white, white cap, white shirt. And Rob McCoy said he was covered in blood after giving Charlie Kirk chest compressions. That never happened. I mean, you realize how pathological you have to be? And then he said his own son was covered in blood. And what? That never happened. Because his son was in, here's the response. You see your best friend shot. I can guarantee you this will never happen because we have God's heads of protection around us. I'm just saying it as an example. If Aaron saw me shot, he would not plug his ears and walk the other direction.
No.
Yeah, he'd be all over me trying to help me, even if that meant him getting shot.
Yep.
That's the way it would be. That's true friends, okay? Nobody plugs their ears, puts a phone to their ears, and calmly walks the other direction and remains on the phone in the parking lot. Something is very wrong here, folks. That's his chief of staff. And not only is his behavior incredibly odd, who does this when your friend gets shot? You would be stunned and then move to where the blood's spurting out. That's what his security detail. Look at the guys hopping over to grab a hold of him. Those aren't even his friends. That's a security detail. And allegedly, Frank Turk, who I don't believe the hand signal stuff that much, I'm just telling you. But like, that just gets way too ambiguous. But Rob McCoy's lying about Frank Turk. Why is he lying about his son being covered in blood and that his son was directing? Does it look like he was directing?
No.
He put his hands over his ears, put a phone to his ears that was already pre-dialed prior to the shooting. Very strange also. And then just casually walks away. That's directing? No, you'll see the people directing on the ground with Charlie. So it's all lies. The directing's a lie. My son's covered in blood is a lie. Frank Turk, his best friend, Charlie Kirk's best friend and fellow believer, which exonerates him from all suspicion. Because Rob McCoy deems him a believer. And, you know, being a believer now in the eyes of another Christian could mean just about anything these days.
Yeah.
But anyway, Frank Turk's on the video not assisting Charlie Kirk whatsoever. He bails, hits the dirt, and then walks away. There's no chest compressions. He's not covered in blood. None of that ever happened. So why is he lying? It's just like showing the video of the pipe bomber the other day. The number one witness for the pipe bomber. Everything on the video is a bold-faced lie that she told, and nobody cares.
Yep.
Nobody does anything about it. Very strange, isn't it? I mean, it's just all very odd behavior. None of what we're being told, by the way, and I believe there's people who are going to try to take some legal action to open up the trial of Tyler Robinson so we can actually have cameras in the courtroom, because that's all been removed also. It's very strange. Mm. We're not allowed to see the court proceeding either. All right, 10-18, that's good. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. My friend, Texas Billy, thank you so much. $50. Nate, Dad, won $50. Great. Two people, but a lot of money. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Stick around for the post game. It's short, but it's awesome. Stick around for it. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.